Okay, let's just jump right in. We're looking at something pretty interesting today, skipping the usual headlines and going straight to the source. We've got the NRC's Event Notification Report for September 26, 2025. This is, a public government document. It basically lists out specific safety problems happening across the U.S. in real time.
Yeah, and what's striking is the scope, right? If you actually look at the source, the NRC, they're watching more than just the big power reactors. Their interest covers power reactors, sure, but also nuclear materials, that means medical stuff too, radioactive waste and security. So these notifications, they show safety measures actually working, or, well, sometimes failing, and the response.
Exactly. And that's what we're digging into. We're focusing on six specific events from this report, event numbers 57938 up to 57952. Looking at them together gives you this cross-section of all the different ways things can go wrong and need watching, from hospitals to reactors. So first up, it might surprise you, but some of the most common nuclear events, quote unquote, actually happen in hospitals. Two of the ones here involve medical procedures. They use isotopes like yttrium-90, Y90. For cancer treatment, I believe.
That's right. Often for liver cancer, it's very targeted radiation. And the oversight is, well, it has to be intense. You're dosing inside a person. And these two cases, they really highlight two totally different ways things can go sideways. Software failure versus a physical problem with the delivery.
Okay, let's start with the software one. Event 57938, University of Louisville Hospital in Kentucky. Purely digital, it sounds like. They use SirSphere Y90 doses. The problem was a calculation error in the software, converting units.
Exactly. Converting gigabecquerels, GBQ, which is metric, into millicuries, MCI, the older US unit, seems small, right? But that little glitch, that systemic bug, it had a direct impact. Five patients got underdosed, more than 20% less than prescribed.
Wow, five patients from one error.
And here's the key for the NRC report. The actual dose to the organ, the liver, was off by more than 50 millisieverts, MSV, from what was planned. That's a significant deviation. The good news is they caught it, fixed the software, but it shows how, one bad line of code can spread trouble fast.
So if that was software, how's that different from the next one? Event 57939. This was University of Alabama in Birmingham. Sounds more physical.
Physical. This was mechanical. The doctor giving the dose using Y90 TheraSphere this time actually felt resistance during the delivery. Think of it like a clog or something blocking the injection.
Okay, and the result. What happened to the dose?
The patient ended up getting 67.2 MSCI when the plan called for 90.7 MSCI. That's, let's see, a 24.4% underdose. So not a calculation mistake this time, but a physical issue with that specific delivery. What they did immediately was secure the whole delivery device, let the radioactivity decay, then send it back to the maker, Boston Scientific, to figure out what went wrong.
But the report also says the patient was told, and the hospital felt the dose was still therapeutically okay. So why does the NRC need a whole report on it if it was still clinically useful, sort of? Seems like a lot of paperwork.
But you have to think like the regulator here. The NRC isn't primarily focused on the clinical outcome at that exact moment. They care about the process failure. Was the prescribed dose delivered with intolerance? No, it was outside the 20% limit. That triggers the report. They're looking at the equipment, the procedure, the adherence to the plan. Did the system work as designed? In this case, mechanically, it didn't. That's the reportable issue.
Okay, that makes sense. Process integrity, not just the immediate outcome. So we've seen software fail, and we've seen a physical device fail. What about the human factor? Let's move from medicine to research. Event 57948, this is at the University of New Mexico's non-power reactor.
Right, a research reactor. And this incident, it's a classic case study in human factors, even at really low power levels. What happened was an unplanned high power trip, a scram. Basically, the reactor shut itself down automatically, very quickly.
And this happened during a test. A positive period excess reactivity measurement. Sounds technical. Power got up to 5.64 watts. The limit was 6 watts, so they were technically still under the limit, but it scrammed anyway.
It scrammed because the safety systems worked perfectly. Channels 2 and 3 detected the rapid rise and tripped the reactor just like they're supposed to. But the reason for the report, the regulatory interest, isn't that the safety system worked. It's why the power spiked in the first place. And the report is pretty blunt. Operator distraction.
Operator distraction. With a nuclear reactor, I mean, even a small one, what happened?
Well, you had the student operator there and the senior reactor operator, the SRO, the licensed supervisor, and they had visitors, an NRC inspector, actually, and a nuclear engineering instructor. And apparently the instructor was talking to the SRO and the student about something completely different, some other lab stuff going on.
Oh, wow. So they were distracted by conversation.
Yeah. And because of that distraction, the SRO didn't react quickly enough to the power increase they were supposed to be watching. The instrument showed it rising, but the response was slow, which led to the automatic safety system kicking in.
That's kind of wild. The NRC inspector is in the room watching, and the distraction still happens. It really drives home how critical just following procedure is every single second. Even if it's low power, that lapse, that distraction, violated their technical specifications, right? 6.9.2 to 8.7. They had to report the trip.
Exactly. The equipment was fine. The human part of the system, the focus, that was the weak link in that moment. It's a really potent example of how safety culture and procedure adherence are just fundamental, even with the regulator right there.
Okay, so let's shift to the big power plants now, the commercial grid. We've got three events in Region 4, Arkansas, and Texas. The first two seem to show safety systems doing their job right.
Yes. These next two, the SCRAMs, are actually good news stories in a way. They show the defense in depth philosophy working as intended, protecting the public.
All right, event 57949 at Arkansas Nuclear 1, Unit 1, an automatic trip, a SCRAM, caused by an issue with something called the X01B main phase transformer. That tripped the reactor protection system, the RPS. Just remind us, the RPS, that's the big red button, basically, the automatic shutdown.
Pretty much. It's the primary automatic system that inserts all control rods to shut down the reaction if key parameters go out of bounds. And the outcome here was perfect textbook. Reactor went to mode 3, stable shutdown. All rods in. Systems worked. No radiation release. That's a successful safety system actuation reported as required.
Okay, clean shutdown. And similarly, event 57950 at Comanche Peak, Unit 1 in Texas. This was a manual trip, though. Why did the operators manually trip it?
Because both main feedwater pumps tripped. The pumps supplying the main water flow. They don't know why yet. It's under investigation.
But the operators saw that, lost main feedwater, and manually initiated this SCRAM.
Right. And what's key here is what happened next. As soon as the main feedwater pumps went down, all the auxiliary feedwater pumps started up immediately. That's the redundancy. You lose the primary system, the backup kicks in instantly. That prevented a more serious situation. Seeing all auxiliary feedwater pumps started immediately in the report, that's a sign the safety design worked flawlessly. That's why it met the reporting criteria.
Okay, so two events where the immediate safety systems, automatic or manual plus backup, worked perfectly. But then we get to the third one from the power reactors. Event 57952, South Texas Project, Unit 1. This sounds different, more serious. This involves the Emergency Core Cooling System, the ECCS. That's not just a shutdown system. That's for accidents, right?
Exactly. If the RPS is the shield that stops the initial problem, the ECCS is the system designed to mitigate a major accident, like a loss of coolant accident. It floods the core with cooling water. And this event raises a really critical issue. What happens when your backup safety systems start failing before there's even an accident?
Okay, walk us through this. It happened over a couple of days.
Yeah, it started on September 23rd. ECCS Train B, think of trains as independent, redundant sets of safety equipment. Train B was declared inoperable. The cause? A problem with a valve. A specific valve, 1cc MOV0137, in the chilled water supply for a containment fan cooler. One valve took down the whole train. That put them into a technical specification, TS3.5.2 Action A. Basically, a clock started ticking. They had 7 days to fix train B.
7 days. But they didn't make it.
Nope. Before they could fix train B, the other train, train A, also failed. This was 2 days later on September 25th.
What happened to train A? Another valve.
No, this time it was the chiller itself. Essential chiller 12A couldn't keep its cooling water cold enough. It wasn't getting below 52 degrees Fahrenheit. And if that cooling water is too warm, the ECCS components it serves won't work correctly in an emergency. So train A became inoperable too.
Wow. So now both trains of a critical safety system are down, while the reactor is still running at full power.
Exactly. They were in mode 1, full power, with less than the required 2 operable ECCS subsystems. That's a major issue. That immediately put them into a much more serious action statement, TS3.5.2 Action B. They had only 1 hour to get one of the trains working again. When they couldn't do that within the hour, they had to enter something called the Configuration Risk Management Program, or CRMP.
CRMP. What does that actually mean for the plants? Is that like DEFCON 1 for the regulators? Yeah. Is the plant shutting down?
It's extremely serious. It doesn't automatically mean shutdown, but it means the plant safety margin is significantly reduced. They've lost critical redundant safety equipment. Entering CRMP means they have to follow very strict, formalized procedures to assess and manage the increased risk minute by minute. Extra monitoring, maybe extra staff. It's the regulator saying, okay, your safety net has major holes. You need to operate under intense scrutiny and prove continuously that you can manage this elevated risk and shut down safely if anything else happens.
Ooh.
This dual failure, one from a physical component, one from a cooling system performance issue, is much, much more worrying than those straightforward scrams earlier.
What a range of issues then, just in these six reports. We went from a software unit conversion error in a hospital in Kentucky to physical resistance in an injection device in Alabama to somebody just not paying attention at a research reactor in New Mexico, and then these big, complex mechanical and system failures at power plants in Texas, culminating in both ECCS trains being down. It covers so much ground.
It really does. And that's the value of digging into these reports. They're not just a list of things going wrong. They show the breadth of what the NRC oversees, and they show the system working, mostly. The scrams show protective systems functioning. But the ECCS event, that shows a challenge to the deeper layers of safety, the mitigation systems. It highlights the difference between a controlled, expected shutdown and a situation where your critical backup systems are compromised.
So wrapping this up for you listening, across these incidents, we saw failures caused by what? Software bugs, physical blockages or resistance, human distraction, and the slow failure of physical parts, transformers, valves, chillers. So here's the final thought to chew on. We saw the human element fail, and we saw material conditions fail. Both can be critical. But which type of failure, when you have the pressure of time, poses the tougher long-term challenge for keeping nuclear technology safe? Is it managing the unpredictable human factor, or is it managing the inevitable wear and tear on complex machinery? Something to think about.